Some public officials won't don a mask. They simply continue balking. So to those who make them, I humbly ask, can you make one that keeps them from talking? Ah, satire. Simultaneously loved and loathed. Welcome, everybody, to Spectrum West, an engaging place for whatever your space. I'm Al Ross, and as we continue our somewhat altered existence, Wisconsin Public Radio is making the most of a situation in the hopes it helps you do the same. This week's episode features Life as He Knows It for West Wisconsin singer-songwriter Chris Cruzy, who does not sit idly by and allow a pandemic to hold down his spirits. He has plans, and we'll hear about them, including a song that may appear on a new album, which is about to be recorded. We'll talk about young people and resources we and they have for dealing with where we are in this changing world. Kelly Witt is a proud and capable librarian who's making it all a lot easier to take. And speaking of spirit, you'll feel it in the voice and the work of Erica Mock, an artist who creates things to wear, unlike many you've seen. She joins us by phone on her way back to Wisconsin from her snowbird's nest in Florida. And what do you say we untie the ropes and push off right here? When the pandemic was just starting to sink into our worlds, we contacted Volume 1, a somewhat biblical print and online source when it comes to covering things artistic, musical, cultural, and congenial. We spoke with editor Nick Meyer then, and after a couple months of Pandemic 101, we decided to speak again. We spoke almost exactly 2 months ago, on March 26th, that episode of Spectrum West. There was a lot up in the air. It was 2 weeks into the total shutdown of things happening and things about to happen. Our river valley was still tiptoeing on a combination minefield, broken glass, and maze, and many things were still out of focus. A lot has changed in the 2 months that feel like 2 years. I have a feeling that if I were with you right now, I'd notice a facial expression that's a bit less constricted and and more of a look of, okay, I think we can handle this. We'll get to specific examples a bit later on, but tell me about Nick Meyer, the business owner and worrier-in-chief, feeling noticeably better than 2 months ago.
Yeah, you'd have to feel better than 2 months ago. That was, like you said, it felt like 2 years. It's simultaneously the slowest and fastest couple of months I've ever experienced, I think. But yeah, we are, as a business owner, like you said, I mean, we're doing better than we were. And since then, things like the payroll protection money has come through to help pay staff for a while. We've launched our membership program for Volume 1. I think we're up to 800 some people have reached out to say that they wanted to help us keep going and what we're doing, and that helps plug gaps. We know more, you know, who's not going to be working with us from a business standpoint for quite a while because mm-hmm. of difficulties and troubles of their own. But we know who is doing okay through this, still there and part of the ecosystem in the community, but obviously still with events off the table for this community. And that's such a big part of what Volume 1 does, is promoting events, discussing events, and our different partners and things promoting events, especially around the summer. It's still a very, very different landscape, but we do understand now how and why it's different and kind of how we have to work forward through it. And so a lot of good things have happened. We're trying to leverage those as best as we can.
Yeah, I mean, last time we talked, it was the unknown factor, the business itself, and then all the reeling that was going on for things that had to hit the emergency brakes. It was odd. We were all kind of turning around and bumping into walls and bumping into each other, which wasn't a good idea.
The shutdown after cancellation, they were just piling on. And now it's a presumed understanding that everything was canceled and is canceled. So now anything that is happening is viewed as a ray of light, as long as it can be done safely. And so I think it's turned to an eye of optimism towards, you know, what can we get out of this rather than what are we losing? That's been good.
I've spoken with so many people over the last 10 weeks of shows who have shown flexibility, resilience, spirit, toughness, you name the positive character trait, all in response to something they didn't expect. unless you've been personally or sadly touched by the pandemic. As the Ralph Waldo Emerson saying goes, bad times have a scientific value. These are occasions a good learner would not miss. Tell me what you've learned that's going to serve you going forward.
Well, organizationally, I guess we took the time to learn more about our craft and what we do in terms of our the business side of marketing and what's happening with media and in the digital movements going forward. So we took time to learn that. We're actually getting ready to relaunch the magazine with a totally new redesign editorial approach. We took all of our downtime to do all the things that we wanted to do all along, but you know that daily grind of doing the work that you normally have to do to stay on top of everything, mm-hmm. when you're given a little bit of a reprieve from that, we took the chance to learn as much as we possibly could about what could we be doing differently, what are we behind on, and how can we improve going forward. And I guess, you know, personally, so much of my, you know, personal perspective on things is just tied into how this community functions and works and how we all interact with each other. And when you're sort of forbidden from interacting with each other, I think some different things become clear of just kind of how interconnected we all are in different ways and how we all need each other to succeed, to do well in a community. And so when we're all struggling in different ways, personally or emotionally, or businesses are struggling, or community functions can't happen, or even the awkwardness of the election that we had to go through and things like that, it just gives you this sense of appreciation of just how much together we all are, even at these times when you're feeling super alone. And I know the together word has become very overstated and overused, but you know, we're not in the big city. We're just such the perfect size city that we all need each other and rely on each other. And we're not separate in the ways that maybe we think we are inside our heads sometimes. And so it's given a new appreciation, I think, of that perspective a little bit, too.
You have to feel good about and fortunate that your business was what it is when this came along, because you basically are pretty streamlined.
We also have the retail store, and we saw enormous support for the local store through this, through online purchases, and we were sending out enormous amounts of care packages, localized care packages to people who were wanting to send something to their loved ones during this thing. Mm-hmm. So that has helped keep a wing of our operation up and going, even while advertising revenue and things have dramatically declined. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, we've tried to use the tools that we have, and then inviting people to come in through that membership opportunity at, you know, volume1.org/membership is a chance for people. We're coming in at all levels from $25 to $500 to get these packages of fun stuff from us at Volume One, but really are just doing that to support what we've done in this community for so many years. The events part is obviously shut down. Our concert series in the summer at Phoenix Park isn't going to be happening anytime soon. Our big kids event, the Great Big Hullabaloo, had to be canceled. We took Chalk Fest virtual this year, which means people can do their chalking anywhere in the Chippewa Valley and send in photos and video. And we have a website going for that at volume1.org/chalkfest. Kids and families can do it together. Individuals can do it. We'll have a voting period that the public can still see all those amazing chalk drawings from all over the community. We are diversified in a way and have been able to find a way, a path forward as best as we can here.
On the phone with Nick Meyer, editor, owner, publisher, et cetera, et cetera. Volume One, the specifics. There are some responses to all of this that are downright cool, and they have people looking forward to the alternatives. You mentioned Sounds Like Bummer. I love the headline. Chalk Fest you hit on. Drive-in movies. Blue Ox online and postponed. You are working with people to make sure things that are postponed get advertised. Are you working with other groups? Is that kind of a daily process or a weekly process whereby you say, all right, where are you today and what can we tell people about that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. As the place that is always getting everybody's information and getting it out there as far and wide as possible of what's happening in this community, right now nobody knows what to do or what they're doing. It's so hard to get updates from people, and even ourselves. I mean, we just kind of dragged our feet on the Sounds Like Summer Concert Series of saying what for sure we were going to do one way or the other, because it's just changing constantly. So we're doing our best to stay in communication with, you know, Parks and Recreation Department, what Chippewa Falls has going on, and every different, you know, community organization that represents large swaths of summer activities. It's just slow going on knowing sure. what happens next. I mean, you mentioned the Blue Ox online show, the drive-in movie theaters and stuff. What we're seeing with our content is like when there is concrete information of something that is happening that you can go out and safely do, the interest just explodes. People are very, yeah. very interested in what's actually happening for real programming. We all know we can go out to parks and we can do some outdoors things and stuff and stay safe. But when there's actually a programmed something happening, people are just starving for that information right now.
Sure.
And of course, that brings out the debate, you know, what's safe and what's not. And it's an interesting time to be in the information sharing business.
Is it safe to say that when decisions are made and as they are made, that volume1.org is a good place for people to depend on for the latest news?
I think so. We're starting to kind of publish more virtual events so people can participate in those, but there are some real physical, real-life events that are happening. Normally, right now, we would be releasing our Best of Summer guide. We're changing it up, and on June 10th, it'll be a whole themed issue of Volume 1 just called Making the Best of Summer. We've got all kinds of ideas and events and things of what people can still do to have a very unique and enjoyable summer in the Chippewa Valley. Find new hobbies, find new ways to enjoy this community around us, and we're still dedicated to helping people do
sure.
that.
Hey, Nick Meyer, thanks to Volume 1 for being a beacon on the rocky shore, helping us navigate uncharted waters. I think most of us have made it into the harbor thanks to folks like you, so keep up the great work, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Al.
What has Chris Cruzy been and what will Chris Cruzy be up to? We'll talk on the phone a bit later and learn about things we can do and read to be on the same page with our kids during this time, coming up on Spectrum West. Support for WPR comes from Charter Bank, offering fixed-rate mortgages, bridge loans, construction loans, and more. Loan officers Dawn and Susie are dedicated to providing personalized service. Charterbank.bank, invested in partnerships. Well, Erica Mock's work, her clothing and accessories, are things that once you see them, you'll remember. They are that unique, and they're not created simply out of a desire to make a living. There's a desire to say something and help you do the same. They're not for everybody. They're for expressing individuality. We met a few years ago, and I do remember her work, her personality, and her reasons for being an artist. She's a Northwest Wisconsin resident most of the time, and I'm glad she came to mind during these strange times. I imagined her perspective to be interesting and her spirit uplifting. I reached her on Pine Island, Florida, preparing to head back north. You are one of the smart ones who escaped the cold side of Mother Nature's personality. You have been in Florida during all that's been going on. That had to be interesting because, as we've seen on the news, the Florida governor was one who said, come on, let's keep on trucking and pretend nothing weird is happening. You're about to take off on your way back north as we speak. How was it where you are? I know that you had to postpone your departure.
I did have to postpone my departure. I felt like if I was going to get stuck anywhere, this was sort of the perfect place to get stuck.
Sure.
I'm very fortunate to be on this island, which has had so few people. And literally, when the lockdown started happening in the various states, this island sort of went on its own lockdown.
You and I met at one of those shows where people display their wares and have a good old time. I was fascinated with your work and where you lived at the time, which was a caboose. You make some very unique clothing items and accessories. The line is textiles or textiles for the body and soul. Two areas of our composition in play more now than ever. Explain your creative intentions to our audience.
I like to think of the work that I do as work that wakes our body and our perceptions. As I work with recycled fabrics, which is primarily the raw materials that I'm using for my scarf accessory pieces, there is a very free spirit that sort of jumps out of materials that you use that are recycled. So my intention is to unleash that free spirit so that when we put on these fabric garments, there might be a way for that garment to help unleash sort of a free spirit in us And now with these times, I'm really looking at healing and safety and the fact that the scarf accessory pieces we wrap around our necks and the place that we breathe from. So that's sort of...
That's cool. Yeah. I'm glad I asked that again. It's been a while since we've seen each other. I think the last time I saw you was down in Stockholm.
I think you're right. I think that is the last time. You know, that show, the Stockholm Art Fair this summer, is canceled due to the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very interesting world out here right now.
And we should note that in response to how we all are rolling nowadays, you have also been making masks. And if you want masks that will be unlike other people's, Erica is your seamstress. I will believe that your masks don't just cover the mouth and nose. They also kind of make a statement. Yeah?
Yes, thank you. That's really fabulously put. They do make a statement. I was doing a tiny bit of research into the pandemic in 1910, 1920. And I just thought, wow, we are in a place where suddenly there are so many more unknowns, and they have to do with our breathing, with our human bodies, with the vulnerability of our human bodies. And so how can I create a mask of some kind that actually is going to make a statement about our wellness and our beauty? And, you know, quite a few women already and some men have contacted me and asked about coordinating masks with what they're wearing.
Oh, cool. Yeah, sure.
So suddenly, you know, we make, what am I trying to say? We adapt, but we create.
Sure.
We create with the times.
Maybe if the masks are cool enough, people are going to wear masks after this is all over. It could be a whole new fashion statement.
It could be. It could be. And I have to tell you, you know, the ones that I'm doing now are very much considerate of how easy they come on and off because we're wearing them to public places.
Sure.
When we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so often, I've been down here in this very warm weather, so when you're at the grocery store and you come out and you get back in your car and you take your mask off, you don't want to touch your face. You want to be able to take it off easily. So
mm-hmm.
The ones that I'm doing have an elastic over the ear.
Okay.
So you can easily flip your finger in there and just get the mask on and then equally easily get it back on again when you need it next time.
On the phone with Erica Mock. Textiles for the body and soul. She is an artisan about to take off from wintering in Florida for her abode in Duluth. You are, Erica, a proud member of the arts and creative community. What are friends and other members of that community saying and doing? Because times are kind of tough.
Yeah, you know, I think that in the beginning in March, we all went through shock and all of us still are cycling through. I like to say it's like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
So we all cycle through that kind of on and off. And in the beginning with the artists, I think as we are also realists as much as we are dreamers, and we could see that, oh my gosh, our livelihoods were going away fast. And when they were coming back would be anybody's guess as far as live events go. So what many artists are doing is they've gone online, and shows actually, as they've had to cancel, are also presenting virtual art fairs. Then some artists are doing more online teaching, and some, you know, are revamping their work entirely. And I did go through a brief period of time when I thought I might do that, and I still may.
Hmm.
You know, I have a background as a music therapist, so that's where the body and soul, the soul part comes in for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have wanted to do more. It's almost a mentor style of teaching, which is like art therapy or enrichment type classes. So I may switch over to that for a bit, too.
Cool.
Because,
yeah.
You know, it's a good time to try
yeah.
new things.
Sure. If nothing else, this is a good time to say, why not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do. I feel like a lot of artists are saying that, too. Like, why not? And I have some friends who have shifted. Like, for instance, if they worked in jewelry, suddenly they're doing work in alcohol inks. Or a lot of them are just through this time, this unknown time, have shifted gears and are doing a completely different medium. And in a way, what that also feels like is when your heart is sort of broken because everything you've been working on just comes to a screeching halt, but you still need to create. You dig deep and you go to that place of, what if I wanted to do that I haven't yet?
There you go. You could have a whole line of your clothing called Bucket List.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's something I wanted to say before was that the masks, when I started them out very traditionally now, there are ideas coming where the next masks might be combinations of scarf wrap pieces with masks involved so that there's more option for wearing, too. And who knows? Those are going to be very organic, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can get to work on those things when you get back up north where it's cooler and people are, they're laid back. Yeah, you go from Florida to Duluth. That's climate difference.
It is, but you know, I have to tell you, Al, I'm actually going back to the caboose first.
Oh, you are?
And yes, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to quarantine for 2 weeks. And then I have a very crazy June in front of me. I need to move my studio one more time. So I'm going to move out of Duluth and move everything back to Wisconsin.
Oh, boy. We'll be glad to have you back in Wisconsin.
So. Well, thank you. I'm going to be glad to be back.
It's good to know you still have the caboose. Good for you.
Yeah, great.
Well, given the serendipitous nature of your work, when this pandemic is history, I think everyone should wear an Erica Mock original as a display of celebration because, if you think about it, some actually kind of look like fireworks to me.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, July's coming, right?
Sure.
And so, yeah. Change. It's constant change. And we do need to celebrate that, I believe. I think this, this is also a huge opportunity. I know that there are people who are really hurting and strange situations and crazy hardships going on. But it's also an opportunity to really shift some systems that aren't working, to really, shake things up, create something new that will work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or most everyone.
Yeah, like I said, why not? You know, it's one of those things where you say, can't get much worse. Why not? What could I do by doing this to screw things up? Probably nothing.
Probably nothing.
Yeah.
It's like leap, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Erica, always a joy talking with you. And please keep in touch. Let us know when you're back in Wisconsin.
I will, Al. Thank you so much.
Chris Cruzy takes some time out from his yard work and other chores yet to come on Spectrum West on WPR. Before that, we all get wrapped up in our day-to-day response to the virus among us, and sometimes we forget the young people and what it must be like for them. All the things we do for them, of them, one of the most important is to talk with them. Find out what they're thinking, what they fear, miss, and wish for. Children's literature is a resource, and the library is your resource for the resource. Kelly Witt is Youth Services Manager at the L.E. Phillips Library in Eau Claire. So now I did a search for books and ways to help children cope with school closings and not seeing friends and feeling anxious. If you want to dive in, go ahead, but I'm just going to give people an idea of some of the titles that are out there. There's a book called The Invisible String.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called I Am Peace.
One's a really great one. We use that one a lot. It's all about mindfulness and like slowing down your body and just experiencing the world in a moment. That's a really great way for kids to reflect on where they are right now.
Good. There's a book called Quiet.
Mm-hmm.
There actually is a book, Coronavirus, a book for children. It's available free as a PDF, I read. A book called I Am Loved, Listening to My Body.
Yes, that's a good one.
Curious George Discovers Germs.
Yeah, Curious George Discovers Germs would be a great one for you to use if your kid is a little bit older. And that one's available through Hoopla. So even if you don't currently have a library card, you can sign up for a More member library card and download it digitally at more.lib.wi.us. So you can get access to that free from there.
All right.
Yeah.
There's a book called Here and Now.
That's the book. If you can get your hands on that book, that is a beautiful story with beautiful illustrations, and it's just an outstanding title that is not only about mindfulness, but also about emotions, and it helps families to kind of connect with their bodies and their minds and what their kids are feeling, and it's just a really, really great title.
Okay. Let me finish the list. Breathe Like a Bear, Charlotte the Scientist Finds a Cure. That's all about a bunny, I guess.
I like that one.
There's a book called The Feelings Book. My Friend is Sad. Mm-hmm. My Hero is You. So, and that was released to help this situation as well. And I read about three Arkansas moms who wrote a book to help kids understand COVID-19, a doctor and a writer and an artist. So we've established that there are books to help kids deal with things, and some of them are downloadable, etc. How have you been reacting as a librarian and a youth services manager directing kids and parents to this kind of stuff?
Well, hoping that people keep calling us and keep asking for suggestions. Oftentimes, parents don't know exactly what their child needs. So how we're going forward with this is oftentimes suggesting parents ask their kids some questions. So, for example, in my household, I asked my kiddo a series of questions. Very simple. They're questions like, what is coronavirus? Or how do you think it started? And asking those simple questions brings to light. I asked him, how did it start? And he thought, it started from kids. So that led me to believe, oh, he's feeling very anxious about this. Mm-hmm. He thinks it's from other children. So then I looked up more books about anxiety in this, and that led me to that. So it's kind of directing parents to talk more to their children in kind of like a child-led way to find out exactly what their children are feeling, and then go from there to find titles and asking us for help to get those titles. There are so many books about emotions and mindfulness and being helpful, because maybe a child just wants to help their grandmother get food or notices that someone has lost a job, because that's also happening right now. So there's a lot of things going on in the minds of children. And if you don't find out what your kid needs first, it's hard to get the titles that they need. So we suggest that you talk to your child first and then give us a call, because we would be more than happy to get you the titles that you need. And many, many of them are available electronically. And also, we're doing holds pickup. So we have started now that you can get to your holds and pick up books.
Okay.
So that's a great option as well.
That's Kelly Witt, Youth Services Manager at the L.A. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. She's our guest on Spectrum West today, and thank you so much for being here. How about the library website, Kelly? If you click on kids, you read about things like the summer library program. There are photos of youth services staff working at home. You can click read, play, learn. So it's a pretty active place to go.
It's a very active place to go. Under that read, play, and learn, there's just so many resources out there for parents. It's kind of overwhelming with all the options out there. And we thought, let's compile these resources and kind of vet them so that parents can feel confident that when they're at our website, they are resting assured that the resources that are chosen for them at our website will be high quality and safe for their children, so whatever they're using there, they can use it as a family safely.
Speaking again of the activity of the website, you have a thing called Your Library at Home. You have Community at Home, which is all about resources. There are photos displayed. You have a digital display case.
Yeah, so that's a place where kids can sign up and display their collections online. So in the library, typically, kids would sign up and have a chance to display their collections in the building. But since the building is closed, now we still wanted to give those children a chance to display their collection. Mm-hmm. And so we have been putting them online and hoping that people will comment. So you can ask your parent to write an email for you or ask your child, what do you think about this collection? And that starts those community conversations so that those kids who are displaying the collection still feel like kids are talking to them, still feel like they have friends, those friends that have kind of been taken away since they're not able to go to school. So it is really important to keep those conversations in the community going.
Mm-hmm. How prepared was the library for something like this, do you think? Did a lot of what you have already in place just kick in, or was there a lot of scrambling? What happened maybe the middle of March?
That's a good question. You know, these are unprecedented times. We librarians are just doing what we have done for centuries, meeting the community's needs for access to information. And we just kind of pivoted. And I think it was done in a really beautiful way. So not as much scrambling as you would think. Mm-hmm. People just started working from home. There's a lot of needs in the community. And what's number one for library staff is meeting those needs and sure. still disseminating information into the community.
I think I've always thought of librarians as calm and cool and collected and people that we can count on. You guys, I think, have played that role very well, and it must just be innate for anybody who goes into it.
Well, I don't know about that, but we are excited to continue serving the community, and we're just keeping on looking forward and looking at ways that we can get information into the community, and that includes the summer reading program, the summer library program that we're going to be starting on June 15th, and that's the same summer library program that's been offered for a very long time, just in a different format. So we're just looking forward, and we're very optimistic about the future.
Yes, good for you. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to paint the picture of you guys as being just ho-hum people. You talk about being excited for the future. In the middle of all this, you guys are continuing to tell us about what's happening in the quest for a new kind of home, remodeling and expanding.
Yeah, and do it in a safe and a great way that we can serve our community, because serving the community is just number one for every single staff member that works in libraries. It really is. We're very community focused.
You've done a wonderful job of explaining what you do and why you do what you do. Kelly Witt, thanks for being with us on WPR. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
I am now convinced that the kids who patronize the L.A. Phillips Memorial Public Library are in very good hands, because the Youth Services Department is, too. You're listening to Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for doing so.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. I never would have caught the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. I never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. I never would have seen the trouble I'm in.
Chris Cruzy, there's a name Western Wisconsin people know, a neighbor and a talent we're proud of, the guy who dazzled audiences of TV's The Voice nearly a couple years ago, and whose career was exploding in front of live audiences until something called COVID-19 applied the slowdown. Anyway, he has not been sitting around waiting for the fog to lift. He's been entertaining the troops, and that's us. He's been doing it online. He'll do so again outdoors this Friday night. We caught up with him and proceeded to catch up even further. How's life?
Oh, good. Yeah. Different, but it's good.
I keep telling people who I've spoken with during the last 10 weeks of this stuff that, you know, everything after this is going to feel like a piece of cake.
I know it. Yeah, it's not the truth. Just like even as a musician, you know, like like last summer, you know, we were so busy and we get run down and we're just like, oh, man, we got another show. We got to drive 5.5 hours to get to another show today. And now I'm like, bring it on. Let's go.
I was going over stuff that I have on you and actually reread your bio, as a matter of fact. And I noticed the number 6 was big for you. You got your guitar on your 6th birthday, the first one. The big talent show that showed you that you might like this stuff was your 6th grade talent show. So you had some 6s. From there, it's a non-stop straight path all the way to where you are today. Along came, let's move on, 2018, and things heated up. If there's someone in Wisconsin who doesn't know the name Chris Cruzy, they have been living in a cave somewhere. We spoke with you during the height of the finals frenzy on The Voice. You were a guest here, first of all, on the December 13th episode in 2018. And after you landed from the catapult, we spoke again a couple months later in February of 2019. But you and I have not spoken since then.
Yeah.
What about the year between February of 2019 and March of 2020? That had to be a fun year.
Man, it was kind of craziness. I mean, a ton of fun. It kind of almost, it went too quick. We were so busy that it just flew by, which is not a bad thing. You know, we did a ton of shows. It, looking back on that year, I mean, I've got like Google Drive folders with photos and stuff that we've gotten over the last year and stuff. And looking at them and I'm like, oh, that's a cool picture. And then I'm like, where was that? I don't even know. I never used to run into stuff like that. I'd just be like, oh, that was at so-and-so's bar at this date, you know. I just remember, and now we did so much and traveled so much, it's just kind of all a blur. It was awesome, ton of fun.
How many shows do you think you did? I heard somebody say 100 and something.
Yeah, we did well over 100, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually a lot less than what I used to do. It was just a different kind of busier grind. It, you know, before I was playing all the time, but it was all, you know,
sure,
15, 20 minutes from home, or at the most a couple hours from home, you know, home every night. And now it's, you know, we go out and play 2 shows, but we're gone for 5 days in the process. And so it's a different kind of busy.
Yeah, I would think the way things were set up and how you traveled and, you know, just the accoutrements that you had with you and that you were provided was a tad different too, huh?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there was always, you know, room for improvement on stuff where, There was 1 week we were laughing, my whole band and I, we were sitting in the van laughing because we spent so much time on Highway 29 that week. We played like by the cities and then we'd play in Sheboygan and then the next night we'd be in Eau Claire and the night after that we'd be on the east side of Wisconsin again. It was just funny.
You got to know the highway pretty well.
Yeah, we did. Pretty much Thorpe and then Green Bay. So
there must be spots along Shawano. Maybe you haven't played Shawano yet. That's on 20.
I haven't played Shawano yet, no.
Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, or one of those.
No. You know,
along Highway 29. Come on. I was thinking about people who might have the broadest spectrum of experience, meaning sensations of all different varieties, and you have to be one of the most pronounced because there you were, coming off a very big high and transitioning into reaping those rewards with the beginning of a big career, big crowds, etc. And then, bam, this hits. But it appears as if you're one of the people who have taken the lemons and made lemonade whenever you could. I watched a live from quarantine video that included a few originals. You were playing acoustically. You fulfilled a whole bunch of cover requests because people were calling in donations. Saying stuff by Waylon Jennings and Vince Gill and Joe Walsh, James Taylor, Van Morrison, et cetera, et cetera. And at least one song that's planned for a new album as soon as you get down to the studio. So if you can, we'll get on to what you're going to do next. But describe to me the last couple months in your world.
It's been, you know, kind of day to day, it can change. You know, some days I wake up and I'm looking at my schedule and looking at all these cancellations and emails and confirmations and trying to move dates around. And it gets really frustrating. And, you know, you can get yourself into a rut where you're just like, come on, you know, you get angry. But I think the glue that's been holding everything together is, I mean, if I can't control it, then it's not my problem. If I can't I can't control a virus. I can't control the rules in a state. I can't control any of that. What I can do is figure out a way to work around it.
True.
Which is like those live streams and stuff. And we've got a show this coming weekend. You know, we rented out the drive-in theaters. People can stay in their cars and, you know, feel safe. And, you know, it's just we have to adapt and do what we can through this. It's not going to be what it was.
Uh-huh.
But it comes back to that. If I can't control it, then I'm not going to stress over it. I'm just going to find a way that I can do what I want to do, maybe in a slightly different way.
Sure. And that's a perspective and a wisdom that we come by, you know, after being involved in something like this for a bit. But, you know, the first, that middle of March when things just hit the wall, know, we all weren't so wise and smart and calm as you just described. So this,
no.
it had to be an evolution for you too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yep. I mean, right away we were looking at, you know, oh no, we're going to lose all of our bookings in May. now it's like, man, I hope we can play in July.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what to think of everything. I wish I had all these answers, and I wish I was versed and educated in viral things, but I'm not. So.
Yeah, but like I said, we're all going to be smarter and better Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and we're going to be a lot of better, different things after all this. It's going to be...
Absolutely. We look at the silver lining. We bought a house in November, and I've gotten more yard work done this spring than I figured I'd get done in 5 years. So.
Well, there you go. Mr. Landscaping.
Well, you know, you got to do something.
What a guy. On the phone with Chris Cruzy, singer-songwriter from Barron and Beyond. When you and I were lining up this conversation, you admitted to me that we do have a lot to talk about. So I'm wondering if that translates into things I can't wait to do when all these limitations go away. Now, you alluded to a show that's coming up this Friday night. Let's get into more details.
Yeah.
You know, outdoor theaters, and some people call them drive-ins where I come from. We always said, we're going to the outdoor tonight.
You know,
drive-in theaters have been known for a lot of things over the years. Some we can mention on the radio, some not. But concerts at a distance and with certain limitations really isn't one of them. This is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. We were looking at, you know, we got to do something. If we could sit back and not do anything, but that's not going to do us any good. There's always a way to do something. And
sure.
So this was an idea that we came up with and just said, hey, what if we go play a show at the drive-in and people can stay in their cars? And, you know, I mean, it's not going to be the same as, you know, playing a festival with the full band and people right up to the stage and all that, you know, but that's not on the table right now, so... This is, I think, the best way we can do it for now. You know, there's going to be benefits of it and I'm sure disadvantages of it.
Now, is the technical aspect of this show going to be like being at a drive-in theater? Are you going to have a big sound system like in a concert?
No.
Or are people going to hear it over their radio?
Yeah, it's going to come through your radio in your car. And we're going to have some cameras set up, too. So I'll be on a stage live, actually in person, but... We're going to have cameras set up, and I will also be projected onto the screens, which the movies were, and all the audio is going to be coming through your car speakers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan, man. Doors open at 6:30, performances at dusk, and this is from the Stardust Drive-In Theater. That is that in Chautauqua, near Chautauqua, outside of Chautauqua?
Kind of in between Cameron and Chautauqua.
Okay.
Tucked into the woods. It's pretty cool. If you've never been there, it's pretty cool. My wife and I used to go before we had... kids, we used to go to the drive-in, and now it's like that second movie doesn't get done till 12:30, and I'm like, I have to be in bed by that time. So
a lot of us went to drive-in theaters before we had kids.
Yeah,
that's just a phenomenon. So what we talk about now is going to sound like a commercial for Quick Trip. I don't mind that because I suppose they support public radio whenever they can. This is presented by them. And you seem to have kind of a good relationship with Quick Trip. I've seen videos of you going through. And I have to admit, I'm a big fan of Quick Trip bananas, so you must eat a lot of bananas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you?
Got to get your potassium.
Yeah. I think that Live from Quarantine thing was happening on their channel.
It was. One of them was, yep. Yeah, we built a relationship with them over the last year and a half or so.
Cool. cool.
I mean, it's not a small company anymore, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, they're not Walmart. They're Wisconsin-based. They're not publicly traded. It's family-owned.
Yeah.
And another aspect of that is I've known a lot of people who have worked for them over the years, and I've heard nothing but good reviews just from the way they treat their employees. It's pretty well known as it's a great place to work, and they give people incentives, and they'll actually, there's a chance that you could start out working the cashier at the register and, you know, move sure. your way up in the company. And I don't know. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we stop there a lot anyway. So, I mean, it just kind of made sense. That's like,
for
if
sure.
there's a Quick Trip, if there's a Quick Trip in a cluster of gas stations, we're going to go to Quick Trip. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. We grew up with it.
And I have a rewards card, so I'm a cool guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you're really cool if you don't even use your rewards card. You just punch your number in.
Nah, well, I don't know that. So
I know. I just pull the card out and be like, can you do it?
No, I certainly can't do that. Another topic, you like helping young people pursue music.
Yeah.
Although I should say that music is also known for doing the pursuing, and you sometimes you just can't outrun it. How are you working with young people? I know there's a camp that I saw and a few other ways. How do you help out and encourage young kids to do what you did?
I mean, it depends. If kids are interested in music and stuff, I think that's great. And I think, you know, if we can provide them with opportunities that'll expand that interest into knowledge and experience, then that's something that we should definitely do. Like that camp that you were talking about, that was my friend Kat Perkins. She was also on The Voice a few years before me.
Mm-hmm.
And she started this camp out in the Badlands in North Dakota. And, you know, it's a scholarship-based program. It's something cool. You know, we worked with Quick Trip again on that, sponsor a couple of kids to go out there and go to that camp. And
cool.
It takes kids with not only with an interest in music, but that are talented in it as well. And they take them out there to that camp, and they spend, I don't know, I can't remember if it's a week or a few days they spend out there, but they basically go out there and they learn how to perform and how to be rock stars, which is really cool. I mean, if I had an opportunity like that when I was a kid, I would have killed for that.
Sure.
And if we can give that to a couple of kids, then that's great.
Yeah. I alluded, of course, earlier to that Live from Quarantine thing, and you seem to say that there have been more than one. How many have you done?
Oh, man, I think we've done five.
Oh, really?
I think so, four or five, somewhere in there. And we didn't know what to expect. You know, you watch these live streams, and sometimes there's 50 people watching, and sometimes there's 1,500. So we didn't know what to expect. We just kind of went into it open and uh-huh. tried to figure out how to use good cameras and good audio, and that was not easy. That stuff's all mostly over my head, but we got some of that figured out, and we were kind of blown away. It was like the first night we had like 5,500 people watching. The second night it was 7,500 people, and then we got some offers to do some streams for Hormel.
Wow.
That was cool. And it's definitely way different than performing for a crowd of people. It can get awkward, but that you can also make that kind of fun and funny too.
You form a relationship with Hormel and you'll get all the spam you can eat for the rest of your life.
Oh, they sent me lots of spam.
They did?
Yep.
Good deal. Yeah. And I know a guy who's a real tough looking Harley guy, and he gave me a recipe for Spam hot dish, and it's some of the best I've ever eaten.
Really?
It's just wonderful. Yeah. I mean, if I can find it, I'll share it with you sometime. You know, the Hormel people would want to do big things with that. Hey, as you can tell, I probably have only watched one of the Live from the Quarantine things. Have you written some music that relates to the mess we're in?
No, you know, I haven't really written since all this started. I don't know. Okay. I haven't done any writing. But prior to this, you know, I've been writing a ton, and we wrote a bunch of songs in the last year and just kind of filtering through. We're going down to Nashville a week from today to record another record.
All right.
Which is exciting. But, you know, you end up with 50 songs to choose from. You got to whittle it down to, I think we're going to do 5 or 6 songs. That can be time consuming too, because each one of them is kind of like your baby. So you got to pick your favorite one.
Sure. Where can people go to get the latest info on you and what you're doing?
I would say if you want the most up-to-date stuff, follow Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
I try to stay as current as I can on there. I'm not great at it. I could be out doing stuff with my kids all day and not even have a clue where my phone is, but I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think there's something to be said about setting that stuff down and living your life, not through a screen.
Yeah. Well, all we have to do is drive around the Barron area, and when we see the best-looking lawn, we'll know that's your house.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much, I'm the lawn guy now.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Chris Cruzy, thanks for being with us here on Wisconsin Public Radio, as I know you will. Keep in touch, and we'll follow the career, and when it opens up, we'll have a good old time. And here's something that'll add to the commercial. See you next time. That's a Quick Trip thing.
Yeah, see you next time.
That's what they say. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Ramping up here to go back down to Nashville and record another album, and super excited to get that in the works. I'd love to play you one of those brand new songs. I wrote this with my friend Natalie Murphy and a lady down in Nashville named Leslie Satcher, and yeah, a couple of great writers, and I was lucky enough to be a part of this with them, so hope you guys like this.
This is from one of his Live from Quarantine online gigs. The working title is That Train, Chris Cruzy.
Here come that train, they say we'll run you down. Here come that train, looking fine. Here come that train, they say won't ever slow down. She's smooth, she's fast, she's mine. And I got a ticket, I got a ticket to ride. I got a ticket, I got a ticket to ride. She's known her share of gambling men. She's been a fool for thieves. It's been a midnight long ride for rambling men. I guess that's why she showed up for me. And I got a ticket, I got a ticket to ride.
So there's a taste, we can't give it all away, of what you might be hearing on a new album. As Chris said, he's going down to Nashville to record some new stuff, so we'll be looking forward to that. We've got a few things to tell you about. Tuesday Night Blues 2020 has canceled all of the June events at Owen Park in Eau Claire. The executive board of Chippewa Valley Blues will be meeting in mid-June to decide if they can safely run the series for July and August. In the meantime, they're going to continue offering some of the great Tuesday Night Blues past online, so check with them each week. The Tuesday Night Blues and Chippewa Valley Blues Facebook pages. Also, the Red Barn Theater in Rice Lake is canceling the 2020 season. If you've already purchased certificates for season tickets, you have three options. Request a full refund, hold the ticket over for next season, or since the summer shows provide entertainment and fellowship, you can make a donation to the Red Barn. Be appreciated for expenses. Continue to follow the Red Barn Theater on the website and Facebook. Hey, Larry Heagle has a new book out. We'll talk with him next week. I believe Jim Oliver is going to be here with a seasoned author and more. Thanks for being in the audience. Thanks to Dean, Kate, Catherine, and Jim. Live safe and smart. Let's get together again next week. Huh? I'd love it.